I am so hyped. What's up? Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. We're coming to you live from Southern California, and I am so hyped because I know. I take my shirt off. I'm so hyped because I know this is going to be a great day. It's going to be a great show. It's going to be great energy. I can feel it already. I am hyped. What's cracking? Welcome to the program. Let me get right at it and lay it out for you. It's a Thursday, so I know a lot of you roll out like, it's time to beef. When are we going to beef? I'm going to skip ahead to two amazing interviews and let you know when the beef segment is. Top of hour number three. So even though I'm looking to keep it positive, if there's anything you want to beef about, today's the day. This is the place. It's top of hour number three. What's your beef? Love that segment. Keep it in mind. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. It is opening day in Major League Baseball. You know what that means. The mayor, the legend, Sean Casey will be joining us. That's coming up at 9:40. Another reason why I'm so hyped up. Because nobody has more energy and nobody is more pumped than Case. Every damn day, Sean Casey joins me at 9:40. Also, another legend is joining us today. Another reason why I've got this great energy. Ian Eagle, Emmy Award-winning broadcaster. Also, all over the NBA and the Final Four. He joins us at 10:20. So, it's going to be a great day. I've got great takes. We've got great interviews. We're going to have a great beef segment. Step it up, clones. What are you going to bring to it? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. Not what can the jungle do for you, but what can you do for the jungle? What are you going to bring to it today? Let's get going because I can't wait to start right here. I cannot wait to start right here. This is what I love about this show. You never know what you're going to lead with, and I'm always looking to keep it positive. So how about this? Sacktown. Sacktown. Sacktown, I'm starting the show with you. It's not the first time I've done it. I know it won't be the last, but Sacktown, it is all about you. The entire country is going to hear this. It happened. It's finally over.
You did it.
The long city nightmare has finally come to an end, along with the longest playoff drought in all of pro sports. It's been 16 seasons, but the Sacramento Kings are finally back in the playoffs. Sacktown, you're not dreaming. Now, you might be hungover. In fact, you better be hungover, but you're not dreaming. This is, in fact, real life. Your Kings are really a playoff team. And all I have to say to that is this. Light the beam. Light the beam. Light the beam. Light the beam. Hell yes, Sacktown. You shine that giant purple laser and the light the beam chants weren't just coming from Sacktown last night. Kings fan was representing and chanting light the beam in Portland as time expired on one of the biggest wins in the history of that franchise.
Sacramento outscoring Portland 58-23.
How incredible is that? Light the beam chants in Portland. Sacktown, it's finally really over. And the absolute best part to me about this story is that it's not just a nice little story. And that it's not the end of the story. It's just the beginning. Because this is a legit exciting team with a legit culture, a legit future, a legit head coach, a legit look at this thing. They're the 3 seed in the West, and they are for a reason. And they still have a historically great and ridiculously underhyped offense that people are not talking about nearly enough. No exaggeration when I say historically great. It is. Fact. They're averaging 121 points per game, which is still the most points per game for any team in the association since the 83-84 Nuggets. That's how long it's been since anybody scored the ball the way they are. Statistically, they are in fact one of the best offenses in the history of the sport. That's a fact, not a take. It's a fact, cold fact. And it's probably one of the many reasons why their GM decided to hop on Twitter last night to celebrate with a classic reset. At M. McNair tweeted, "No, Jim, we're not kidding. Playoffs, here we come. Hashtag light the beam."
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Shout out to Monty McNair for bringing in the pieces. And even bigger shout out to Mike Brown, who put those pieces together. And he built an actual Kings culture. This guy's got to be absolutely a stone cold lock, right? For the NBA Coach of the Year. For the second time in his career, by the way. I don't even care about who actually wins the award. I'm just going to give it to him right now. I don't even have a vote. I don't have a vote. I don't really have a say, but I do have a platform and I do have an opinion. Mike Brown, congrats, my dude. You are the NBA Coach of the Year. Says who? Says me. You should go around. You should go around and tell everybody, man, I'm just so flattered. I'm so humbled. I'm the Coach of the Year. Yeah, but Mike, it's not official. It hasn't been announced. Yes, it has. Rome said so. It's official in the jungle. And what's more official than that, Mike? Congrats. You did it again. Because nobody's going to convince me that anybody else did half the job that Mike Brown did this season. Think about this. He didn't just break a playoff drought. The dude became just the second Kings head coach to ever post a winning record. Let me repeat that. The only Kings coach to ever have a winning record in any season was Rick Adelman. Who, by the way, back in the day used to always come on the program. Damn good coach. So underrated. Rick Adelman, so underrated. Until this season, he was the only one who ever had a winning record there as a head coach. Until Mike Brown showed up and started lighting them beams, baby. And the best part is, if you think my dude Mike Brown is satisfied just making the playoffs and breaking that miserable streak and this being a nice little story, think again. You couldn't be more wrong. Because Mike Brown knows these fans deserve a hell of a lot more at this point than just making the playoffs.
We want to give them a lot more than we've given them so far already because they're more than deserving of it. And, you know, when you have a fan base that's as intelligent, rabid, passionate about not only their team but their city too. You could feel it's a prideful thing. You just want the world for them, and you're excited about it. We want them to celebrate, but we also know that they expect more from us, and we expect to hopefully give them more.
Nailed it. He nailed it. That's not just coach speak. That guy nailed exactly the way things are in Sacramento. He nailed that fan base. He nailed the expectations, the fact that they deserve it. He crushed that. Oh, one more thing. Mike Brown very clearly is not just here to take part. He's here to take over, and so is his team. You hear that, Kings fan? That's what having a future sounds like. It's a future you all do deserve. Nobody's had it worse than Sacramento fan, Kings fan, for a decade and a half. After it had been so great back in the day, and it was amazing back in the day. The thing is, and this is why they deserve it. One, nobody's had it tougher. And two, they're amazing fans. Kings fan always shows up. Kings fan travels to chant, light the beam. I'm telling you, this is the thing about Kings fan. Before they were great, the fans were great. In fact, the team, frankly, was an embarrassment league-wide. And yet, even when they were horrible, even when they were, how do I put this, ass, their fans still jammed the old Arco Arena every single night. They still loved that team, even when they were running crap out on the floor back in the day. The Kings fans were still incredible. Incredible when the team was incredible, and incredible when the team was ass. These are amazing fans. This is just another reason why I love Sactown and why I want to give them their hype and their respect. They deserve this. They deserve this as much as any fan base does. And you might try and argue, nobody really deserves anything. Oh, no. They deserve this. I'll say it again. Two of the finest moments of my entire professional life were the two tour stops back in the day in Sacramento. It's all so surreal to me when I think about it. When I think back and I think about those two events, I mean, did I really hit the stage in Sacramento with nearly 18,000 people in attendance? Did that really happen? I mean, I was there. I was on that stage. I'm me. So I know it happened. But thinking about that is so surreal to me. Did I really hit that stage with 18,000 people in that barn, along with Rick Adelman, C. Webb, Vlade, White Chocolate, and the entire crew? Were they not also there on stage with me? Hey, Kings fan, help me. This really happened, right? No, I know it did. I will never forget those shows. Two of my favorite days ever. Also, one more thing about the Beam. How can you not love the Beam? They shoot a purple laser into the sky when they win. How do you not love that? Here's to many more lasers, Kings fan. You deserve all of them. Light the Beam. Light the Beam. Light the Beam. Light the freaking Beam. And clones, I know you better than you know you. And if you live outside of Sacramento, I know what you're going to do with this. I know what you're going to do with my opening take. I know what you're going to do with that team. I know what you're going to do with that fan base. I know what you're going to do with that Beam. And I know what you're going to do with what you think is the biggest cow town ever. I know you, clones. It's Light the Beam, not Tumbleweed. Tumbleweed. Yeah, but Rome, that's the city flower, right? Tumbleweed. No. No, a tumbleweed is not a flower.
No.
Much less the city flower. If I'm not mistaken, the city flower of Sacramento is the camellia. So the Kings, thanks Alvin for confirming that. The Kings are most likely the 3 seed. And because they are most likely the 3 seed, the West or the rest of the West seems to think that that's a good thing. They're falling all over themselves trying to lock the 6 seed. You know, like they all want that so badly. Like they want that. They want Sacramento. It's like a fight at the bat rack to try to face the Kings. All I'm saying is, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for and put some respect on them. And there best not be any jackasses, like the last time I did this, who said, yeah, Rome, it's about time. It's about time you gave us credit. No, it's not. I've always given you credit.
For real.
For real. I'm the only one on the national scene that has always given you credit. And I'm not looking for any credit for giving you credit. I'm just saying, don't be a jackass and tell me this is long overdue and where have I been? Where have I been? I've always been with you, Sacktown. You know this. I love you, Sacktown. And I love that the Kings are back. And they are. They're not hot. They're good. Actually, they're both. And the drought is over, Sacktown. I shouldn't even have to ask. In fact, I'm not going to ask. I'm going to tell you, get up in here, Sacktown. It's over. Your long nightmare is officially over. The longest playoff drought in all of pro sports. Over. You're in. And not only are you in, but you can do some damage once you get there. Sacktown. I'm not hard to find. I ripped that from Dion. I'm not hard to find. 1-800-636-8686. Hit me up, Kings fans. I want to hear from you. Yeah, I did it. I love it when I go off the board and I start this national program with things like the Sacramento Kings, the Jacksonville Jaguars, because that's what I'm about, giving credit where credit is due. On almost any other day, had Sacramento not done that, You know I would have led with the Mad Dog. I love that the Mad Dog is back in the news. Mark Mattson, jungle favorite, one of my favorite guys, got himself a gig, a nice gig, tough gig. Well, really tough gig, but a gig, a good gig nonetheless. And he's back in the UC system. Well, he was never actually in the UC system, but as a product of the UC system, I'm glad to see that quality in the UC system. Mark Mattson, named the head coach at UC Berkeley, Cal. Great hire by them. Great hire. So I've got thoughts on that. I want to talk about the hood, Bill Belichick. This guy's actually feeling heat, legitimate heat. And he actually deserves to feel heat. I need to get into all of that. But my take is he deserves heat, and he's getting heat. Kyrie's feeling heat. Yeah, no way. No way Kyrie made another situation worse than the one he stepped into. No way. I'm not saying it's all Kyrie's fault. Just don't tell me that it's not his fault or none of it's his fault or that he's got nothing to do with the fact that when he showed up, they were very much a playoff team and he was supposed to be the guy to get them over the hump. Now they're on the outside looking in. Don't tell me that's a quinky-dink. Don't tell me he's got nothing to do with that. And don't tell me that he makes everything or does make everything worse. Because he does. And he is again with Dallas. All right, so if you've got a beef with any of this or anything at all in life, you want to save it and you want to make sure you get it out to me at the top of hour number three. Sean Casey is one of those guys who makes everything so much better. So much better. Case will join me at 9:40. Ian Eagle is another one of those guys who makes everything so much better. I'll tell you, he's still another guy. Mack Brown makes everything so much better. Had an amazing conversation with him for the Jim Rome pod. And I want to actually preview that. I've had a number of amazing conversations with him over the years. That one was my favorite one ever. And that's not like recency bias. Like, I was blown away by the way Mack showed up yesterday. 71 years old, and this dude has never looked or sounded better than he does right now. It was amazing. So I've got that for you, too. It's going to be a good day. It's already a good day. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. So I've got a question for you. Do you know what your beef is? Do you know when the beef segment is? Beef segment's coming up, top of hour number three.
Is this the beef jerky segment?
And it's brought to you by my pals at Old Trapper Beef Jerky. I just want to be real straight about this. I love this association. I love this relationship because I love the product and I love the fact that it's a family-run business, a business which I know that I've spoken to. I know members of that family and I know they stand by quality and I know they produce the world's finest beef jerky. That's not my take. I just know it. I know it because I eat it all the time. Do not be fooled by other brands. I think some of you still make that mistake. You seem to think that beef jerky is like this kind of generic thing. It's all the same. You could not be more wrong. It's not all the same. Old Trapper is a cut above. Old Trapper is better. Old Trapper is set up so you can see the quality right through their iconic Clearview packages. This is why they manufacture it like that. They want you to see exactly what you're buying. And then when you fire that package open and you get that first bite in, then you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. It comes in four mouth-watering flavors. It is an amazing product. If you're not sure which one you want, great. They come in 4-ounce bags. Get one of each. If you know what you want, get the big boy, the 18-ouncer. That way you've got enough for the entire family and crew. I'm telling you, I love the product. I love the relationship. I'm glad that we work together. Old Trapper. If you don't see it, ask for it by name because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what is your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So I sort of asked the question rhetorically. Did that really happen? Did I really go to Sacktown back in the day? And were there really 18,000 people there to see me and it and to celebrate the Kings and the Jungle, the whole thing? It just seems so surreal. Did that really happen? David Dole, Stucknut posting pics on his Twitter feed. And I'm looking at it right there. Man, unbelievable. Tour stop number 28, September 21st, 2002. There I am with the military cut. And also members of the Kings on stage. It's incredible. It happened. It's real. And there were that many people. Nice job, nut. Good effort. Only the nut would have picks like that to back it up. It really did happen. Let me get you some reaction really quickly. And I've got Sean Casey coming up next segment, and you already know that's going to kill. Kings. Two words that don't get said too often. Wish they were still in KC. Mike in KC. Wow, dude. I'm not sure that's ever been said. Romy, finally, 16 years of hell. Go away as the Kings get to the playoffs. 40-point win over Portland was freaking awesome, too. Gotta love the team Mike Brown put together and their chances in the playoffs. Light the beam, mother bleepers. Rick and Chico, I feel you, dude. This guy doesn't. Stephen Palm Springs, actually, he does. Snagger, hey, Bakersfield, how does my ass taste? Sacktown. First of all, don't crack on Bako. Bako's awesome. One day I will tell you the story of Bako. Not today. Not tomorrow. I've got an amazing Bakersfield story. I love Bako. Number two, it's not even, hey, Bakersfield, how does my ass taste? It's, hey, America, how does my ass taste? Hey, planet, how does my ass taste? I love the fact that they can light that beam, and you could probably see it from Mars. If I were to land on the moon and they fired up that beam, I bet I could see it from the moon. And then here they come. Van Sizzle. Hey, Sacramento. Congrats. Just keep in mind, you have to wake up to us. Signed, Locusts, Cows, and Soulless Suburbia. Andy from Denver. Maybe. But they also get to wake up to the 3 seed in the West. They also get to wake up to snapping the longest drought in U.S. sports of not making the postseason. Why you got to hate? Why do you got to crack on them? Had they not been through enough? Who cares? Sacktown, who cares? This guy writes, War Alvey starting a podcast that is just drops. Oh, it would kill. It would kill.
No, but
you have to take that up with him. Alvey may not be up for that, but it would kill. Chris in Milwaukee. Jimmy.
Ding.
I figured that was a no. Jimmy, we weren't chanting light the beam. Last night in Portland, we were actually shouting, we unclean, we unclean. Regards, Portland woman. Do you know Portland woman? Do you know why they might be shouting, we unclean, in regards to Portland woman? This is not something I made up. This is not even something I believe in. However, back in the day, there was a caller who introduced us to, quote, the phenomenon that is Portland woman.
Well, you know what? We got this phenomenon up here in Oregon, and I call it Portland woman. Portland woman. She doesn't shave. She doesn't clean up. They put her on TV. Turn on any Portland channel with the local show. You'll find Portland woman showing off her stuff, gray hair, no makeup, all the wrinkles to boot, and the clothing is something else. You can see the stain. So, anyways, to Portland woman, please, please, do us all a favor and clean it up. That's all I got, Romy.
Is that all, Brandon? Is that all you have? Brandon in Portland, and the year was 2014. Hearing that right now, everything about that call is so wrong and so inappropriate and so unforgettable. So whenever somebody references, quote, Portland woman, it's because of that. See, this is the bar. When I say to you, you have a chance to become a legend if you make the right call, I'm sure that guy was just, he probably didn't give that a second thought. Like, he just knew about this so-called phenomenon that he likes to refer to as Portland woman. This guy gets on the phone, lets that rip. And I bet there's no way that guy thought to himself, I'm going to shake up the jungle. I'm going to plant my flag. I'm going to go instant legend. They'll make a 30 for 30 on me one day. And they should for that guy. My point is, I guarantee he didn't know that 10 years later, that call would still be getting reset, that people would still reset his take. Do you have that in you? You might be that person, but you'll never know unless you shoot your shot. This guy is a legend for that take. Brandon in Portland, no matter how inappropriate it is now. I'm going to tell you this. If I do this show 10 more years, that drop, that call will be a thing for at least 10 more years. He made that call 10 years ago. And if I do this show 10 more years, and if I have any say in it, I will. Especially after talking to Mac Brown yesterday. That call will still be relevant and a thing, and people will still be going back to it and resetting it 10 years from Mark. I guarantee it. So, can you be that person? Can you make that phone call? Can you say something that will be reset for a decade? I'm going to say probably not, but there's a small percentage of you that can. But not unless you get on the phone and hit me up. 1-800-636-8686. It's only 35 seconds. That guy did something and said something that was 35 seconds long that still resonates 10 years later. It's incredible. 35 seconds. That was not a six-minute smack-off call. That was 35 seconds of that guy riffing on, quote, Portland woman. Tip of the hat to you, B. All right, let me take a short time out because I want to make sure that Sean Casey has enough room. Case needs it. It's opening day. First up, though, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So the second my feet hit the ground this morning, I knew it was going to be an amazing day for so many different reasons, but starting right here, this guy, my guest, played 12 years in the bigs with the Reds, the Pirates, the Tigers, the Red Sox. He was a three-time All-Star. He is back at MLB Network this year for a 15th season. You want to make sure you catch him on MLB Tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, leading up to Ohtani, Trout, and the Angels. Of course, you want to check out his awesome podcast, The Mayor's Office, which is a must-listen. You know I'm talking about quite possibly the greatest human being walking the planet right now. I mean that. He is Sean Casey. Case, it is a tradition unlike any other. You coming into the jungle on opening day, you are shot out of a cannon the other 364 days of the year. So I have to ask you, though, on this, Case, opening day, how you living right now, Sean? How you feeling?
Romy, I am living with the best of them, baby. I'm so excited to be on here back in the jungle with you. I look forward to this day, opening day with my man Romy every year. I'm so fired up, brother.
I knew it. Me too. It is a tradition unlike any other. Case, there are a million different storylines that we could get to, but I need to start you off with this. I spoke with another legend on my Reinvention Project pod last week, Eric Burns. And in prepping for his appearance with me, he listened to an interview that you and I did previously. He must have referenced you 10 different times. Case, I want you to listen to what he said about you, and then I want to get your reaction. Listen to this, Sean.
I listened to an old episode with Sean Casey, but real quick, I wanted to tell you a story about quote unquote the mayor, Romy. I'm like, dude, there's no f-ing way that this dude is that nice of a guy. Like, there's gotta be a little you in him in order to be as good as he is. And so sure enough, we both get done playing. We're working at MLB Network together. We go out to dinner and we're talking about this guy and then this other guy. And so finally we got to this one dude that, let's say he's controversial, to say the least. That's a really good public persona. But behind the scenes, we all kind of, you know the truth and whatever. I'm like, so this is the ultimate test of character. I go, Case, what about such and such? And there's a little bit of a pause. He goes, oh, that guy? What a f***ing douchebag, man. From that day on, dude, Sean Casey's been one of my f***ing best friends, dude.
Case, it's so amazing. What do you think hearing that? And then what did you make of Burnsy the first time you got a load of his act?
Dude, first off, I remember that conversation with Burnsy and I were out in New York one night. We were at MLB Network and we went out. We were just talking about, you know, the good old days. And, I can't even remember the guy we were talking about, but I do remember having that conversation, which is great. Listen, man, for me, I love that. I listened to that episode, Romy. It was incredible. Eric Burns, to me, man, is a guy, talk about shot out of a cannon, and talk about inspirational, the things that he does in his life, the way he lives his life. He's wrote a couple books. You know, he's starting No Filter Network. I was at the network, MLB Network, with him for years. The way he played the game, how hard he played, how he lives his life, man. That episode's a must listen. For anybody that's listening to the Reinvention Project in that unbelievable podcast that you have, Romy, the Eric Burns episode's a must listen for me. Incredible guy, incredible friend.
I really appreciate you, Case. Thanks so much for saying that. So I'm on your Instagram feed last night, which is also awesome, and you have clips from your awesome pod. They're all great. I want to reference one. You have a post and a short caption which reads only this, quote, Brad Lidge, bro. Brad Lidge, bro, I open it up, and there's one more line. Quote, Brad Lidge was from another planet. Case, I got to ask you, what do you remember about your first at-bat against Brad Lidge, bro, and the sequencing, bro? Take me through it. What was that like?
Romy, when you look back, brother, you remember certain guys, certain at-bats, even though I thousands and thousands of at-bats in the big leagues, but you remember guys that made you feel like maybe like a fourth grader in the box, right? What didn't happen a ton, but when it happened, you remember. When Brad Lidge first came up with the Astros, if you can remember back to this, the last three guys you would face out of that pen were Octavio Dotel, Brad Lidge, and Billy Wagner. So you were always like, oh my gosh, this is pretty unbelievable. Well, I'd never really faced Lidge. He was a rookie at the time, and he had this slider that acted like a split finger. I remember Brad Ausmus was behind the dish. You know, Bagwell, Biggio were on the team. And Brad Lidge throws him this first pitch slider at like 93 miles an hour. And it looked like a heater right down the middle. I took a rip, swung and missed. I was like, man, I missed bad on that one. I was like, okay, maybe I saw that wrong. I've never seen a pitch like that before. Next pitch, another slider, 93. I was like, whoa, that was incredible. Dude, Romy, he throws me another slider, 93 miles an hour. It looks like a heater right there. It acts like a split finger. I swing and miss. And I remember, like, my head spinning at the time. I turned up Brad Ausmus before I walked off. I go, bro, are you serious? Serious with that? Like, what was that? And he just started laughing. I started laughing. And I remember, like, Brad Lidge obviously go on to have an unbelievable career with the Phillies and the Astros. But facing him for that first time and feeling like what just happened with those three sliders was a bat I'll never forget.
Sean Casey joining us, the very best. Case, what about Rob Nen, bro? Rob Nen, bro, how filthy was Nen? And can you give me the story about having to face him up in NoCal and how that went?
Dude, we're out in San Fran. I got the day off, Romy. I'm like, all right, good. Day off, getaway day. I think it was 2000. Jack McKeon gives me a day off. I'm like, perfect. This is great. So ninth inning rolls around. McKeon comes down and finds me in the dugout. He's like, hey, Case, you're going to hit third this inning. You're in there to face Nen. I'm like, oh gosh, like Rob Nen in his prime. Like, that's not an at bat you wanted. You didn't want Mariano Rivera. You didn't want some of those guys, you know, in their prime. So I'm like, all right, I'll take it. You know, let's go. Let's get it on. So first two guys get out, packed house in San Fran too. That nothing like out there in San Fran. They could pack the house there, and the fans are, you know, they're rabid out there. So Nen gets me 0-2, same thing, you know, just dropping these nasty, nasty sliders. Again, talk about two guys, Lidge and Nen, some of the nastiest, and Smolty, I remember too. So I get the two strikes, and what they did out there in San Fran, Romy, I don't know if you remember, but that song, Who Let the Dogs Out, back in the day, right? So Nen, you know, gets set, he gets ready to deliver, bam, he gets into his kick. And right when Nen gets about right here, freaking PA starts playing Who Let the Dogs Out. I'm like, and I'm in my stance ready to go. And all of a sudden I hear like, Who Let the Dogs Out? Nen hasn't even thrown the pitch yet. Bam, he draws some nasty slider on me, strike three. And then I looked up at the PA, like, what's going on here? Place is going nuts. They're celebrating. I'm like, they're playing They know I'm punching out, no doubt about it. They're playing who let the dogs out before he even releases the ball.
Incredible. I love that story so much. Casey joining us. That is the best. Case, nothing ever lives up to the hype, but how incredible was Ohtani v. Trout in the WBC? That was some goosebump bleep right there, wasn't it?
You have to be kidding me, man. You have to be kidding me that all the games, you know, the games that started out in Japan, the games in Miami, games all over the place, if you had scripted it, the thing that we all thought as baseball fans, wouldn't it be incredible if the if Japan faced the U.S. in the finals in Miami, 3-2 game, 3-2 count. Ohtani comes in to close it out, which he's not a closer, and he faces Trout with the game on the line, and bam, that's what happens. I absolutely amazing. And what was incredible was the stat that Trout's had 6,000 some plate appearances, has only swung and missed 24 times on all three pitches, this being the 25th. Ohtani pumps 100 miles an hour twice and then throws him that 3-2 wiffle ball slider that punches him out to win the WBC. I thought it was great for baseball. I think it's great worldwide of what the WBC did this year. I thought D-Row in the U.S. was incredible, but Ohtani proved he's the best player on the planet.
Sean Casey joining us. Case is somebody who spent his entire life working the craft, studying the craft, teaching the craft. You're still a broadcaster right now. As somebody who gave everything you had to the sport, you understand this. I mean, do you still have trouble wrapping your head around this guy and what he can do? I mean, to say that he's the best in the business right now is one thing, but the fact that he can pick up a bat and do what he does with that and then hit the bump and then do that too, can you even get your head around that?
No, it's literally a unicorn. He really is a unicorn. We've never seen anything like it ever in the big leagues. To do the way Ohtani's doing it, he's an elite hitter, and obviously his power's elite. And Romy, he's getting better. Like, that's the thing about it. Like, this guy's getting better. He was top five in the Cy Young, too, on the bump. He throws 102 miles an hour with a wipeout split, nasty slider. This guy's only getting better, and I think it's incredible. I think if we're as baseball fans, we should all be sitting back right now and appreciating what we're witnessing with Shohei Ohtani, because we may never see it again. And I just think it's absolutely phenomenal. And one more thing, Romy. Dude, for me, as a left-handed hitter in the big leagues, working on that craft, trying to get great just to be a left-handed hitter, I always marveled that guys could switch hit. I'm like, how do you switch hit? It's tough enough hitting lefty. I can't even imagine the routine that Ohtani has to have to be an elite pitcher on the bump, but also being an elite guy in the box. I think it's a unicorn thing. It's incredible. And I hope we're all sitting back to really, really appreciate it.
Case, I think you just made an amazing point. You're right. Routines are everything. Regiments are everything. Consistency is everything. I know you gave everything you had to be the player you were with your routine. And you're right. This guy's got like two full-time jobs. He would need two routines to do what he's doing right now. It's such a great point by you. Case, I have to ask you about the Miracle League of the South Hills. For those who do not know, what is it? And bring me up to date. How are things and what is the latest regarding these amazing players?
Oh, Roby, you're the best, man. Miracle League of the South Hills. We are a Miracle League for special needs kids. There's a bunch of them in the country. So if you find one in your area, go volunteer. Go take some time out for the kids. We serve over 400 kids with special needs. And it's incredible. I think we're at 61 zip codes that we serve with our kids. It's incredible. Miracle Leagues, southhills.org. If you want to go check us out and join us, you could come out. You could volunteer to be the announcer. You could volunteer to push a kid's wheelchair. We have 2 6-week seasons, and the Miracle Leagues around the country believe they do this too, where we get our kids out there. We have, they get their jerseys, you know, they get their gloves, just like any other kid The mission statement for the Miracle League is every kid deserves a chance to play. Every kid. And I think that's what's so great about these Miracle Leagues. We serve 400 kids. So many Miracle Leagues serve special needs kids out there. So get out and volunteer. Check us out at MiracleLeagueSouthHills.org. But if any Miracle Leagues around you in your state, go volunteer and join these kids. It's one of the greatest things I've ever done, Romy. And I'm so appreciative, man, that you bring this up every time I'm on. I'm very grateful for that,
brother. I love
it,
Case. I love it. I love that you do that. Really quickly, I've got about a minute or so. When you talk about facing some of these guys that are so nasty, there's going to be fear, right? You're going to have some fear. We're all going to have fear in everything we do in every walk of life. Case, what do you tell young people to do with fear? What did you do with fear?
I think the biggest thing with fear is you got to look at fear and turn it into courage, right? At the end of the day, we're all fearful of something in our lives, but you can look at that fear and say, you know what? I'm running right forward. And I think the two things when you look at fear is preparation and action, right? For me as a hitter, I used to get in the batting cage and say, this is my confidence cage. This is my preparation cage. Knowing when I get in the batter's box, I'm coming for you. Like I'm taking action for you. And I always say, play offense on fear and not defense. Because when you run right for it, at the end of the day, it'll shrink for you. Any adversity that comes in your life, the storms that come to all of us, they come for all of us. Run right for it. And you'll start to realize, you know what? That wasn't as bad as I thought. And I'm getting more confident attacking the fear. So attack, adjust. Be prepared and let's go.
Sean Casey, let's go. He was a three-time All-Star. He's back at MLB Network, as I mentioned, for a 15th season. He's got an amazing podcast, The Mayor's Office. Case, thanks for continuing the great tradition here in the jungle. You on opening day. I love you, man. Thanks so much, Case.
Romy, I love you, dude. Thanks so much for having me on. And I'm so thankful we do this every year. I'll see you again soon, but definitely next opening day.
You know it, Case. Me too. Sean Casey. It is one of my favorite show traditions. Every year on opening day, Case not only shows up, but he shows up like that every single time. Sean Casey. All right, looking ahead to hour number two, Ian Eagle joins me. We talk Final Four and NBA with him. Hour number three, the What's Your Beef segment. I told you it would be a great day. Kings fans, where are you? You snapped the longest playoff drought in all of pro sports. You have my phone number. Use it. Hour number two when we come back.